talking about the crossroads. Maybe you're at a crossroad in your life right now. Well, do you get down on your knees when you're at a crossroads trying to make a decision? Or do you flag the ride? Take somebody else's directions. What do you do? Well, that classic song, actually, is based on a scripture. I'll just tell you what this is. Jeremiah chapter 6. Hard to believe it. It's chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah is speaking to Israel, and Israel was just out of sorts with God. They were really in bad shape. They're really wicked. Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroad. Look, ask where the ancient path lies, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your soul. But guess what? Their answer was, we will not walk in it. And that's the thing about coming decisions, coming to crossroads, making a choice. You got to decide. God is a road, but you got to make your choice. Man, oh man. So let's get into it a little bit, because it could be that some of you are there trying to choose the path that you're going to walk. How do you know? I mean, Karen and I have lived this out, and we learned how you walk and choose back when we were young Christians. There are ways and means. So maybe you're at a decision point right now, and you're standing at a crossroad, and you go, which way do I go? How do I go? What do I do? What do I do with my life? What am I going to do right now? What do I do financially? Things are going to crash and burn in the next year or two financially. And what about, you know, this, that? You could have a gazillion things. And the first thing, number one is you ask the Lord, where does the good way lie? That's Jeremiah 6:16. Jesus said it too, Matthew 7, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and easy, but that leads to destruction, and those that go that way are many. But the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life, and there's few that find it. Man. So you're not going to know what choice to make by watching the other people and the crowd. You're not going to flag the ride, as the song says. That old blues standard, by the way. That was Eric Clapton. But you're going to seek what God has designed for life, the crossroads, the way to live, the way life works. He has a way. Ancient path. You imagine that right now there's an ancient path that we can walk in our modern life. There's an ancient path. I found myself in the last month or two, I was getting more and more disturbed. I was kind of getting out of sorts and finding I'm not tuned in to God as much as I'd like to be. And I asked God about it, and right away the crossroad, the ancient path came to me. Where am I spending my time with my thinking in the morning and that sort of stuff? And I'd get on the news and I'd look at all the scandalous stuff that's going on in the world. You know, and I don't think we should be ignorant of it, but I found myself getting preoccupied with it and upset with it. And so I said, you know what? Going to do what it says here. We're going to find out what the Bible says. God's word is number one. You know, Jesus is the focal center, right? But God's word's number one. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if we're unsure where to go, what to do, what way to go, instruction comes from the word of God. And that ought to be, you know, in terms of what to do. So I thought, okay, you know what? when I get up in the morning, I'm not going to touch any of that stuff on my iPad or the newspaper or whatever. And I get up at 6 in the morning every day and just sit there and spend time with the Lord and the Word of God. I like going to Our Daily Bread. Not Our Daily Bread, pardon me. My Utmost for His Highest and Oswald Chambers. And then that steps me through reading the Bible for a year. But I've noticed in the last couple of years, especially, my Bible reading has changed. I pause while I'm reading and I'm thinking and I'm seeing things in it. I'm asking questions as I'm reading the Word of God and I'm going, oh, never thought of that. Oh, I wonder why he said this. Oh, you know, and I start asking those kind of questions. And that's really insightful. The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You want to know which way to go on the crossroads? Where's the light of God? Where's His hand? Where's His providence? And the second thing, Psalm 25:10 says, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those that keep His covenant and testimonies. In other words, couple that with the light to my path. If I'm on that path, the path of the Lord, I'll find steadfast love from God, faithfulness from God. The goodness of God operates there. It works there. And I've seen that and proved that out in my life. So what had happened with my time in the morning, I just said, that's it. That's it. I'm not going to put my mind in any of that junk. 6 till 7 in the morning is just only the Bible and prayer. And I might sit there for half an hour just thanking God, praising God. I got up this morning and I was worshiping God in the Spirit all night long through my sleep. And I was singing the chorus that I sang at church actually on Sunday in my mind. It's a song that I wrote, oh gosh, decades and decades ago under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was amazing. And the chorus is, forever finished, He has done it. Hallelujah, He set us free. Perfect promise of redemption. His blood has delivered me. And worshiping in my spirit, coming up and up and up and up. And so when I got up there, I'm just doing that, singing that. David says again, Psalm 19, lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. So number three, what we find out is God's providence works when we, you know, ask where the crossroad is and go on the ancient path. That's the good way, the good way. There's a good way to go, and it's the narrow way, and there is a way the rest of the world goes. Which one are you facing right now? Going to go the good way? You're going to go that way? The providence of God is at work. I remember when Karen and I were in Bermuda, I'd only been there a couple of years, and the Lord began to providentially indicate to me to go to Campbell River. I mean, it was just weird how stuff kept popping up. And we had somebody who had told me about the church here I was, you know, I could apply to and what they were looking for. And somebody else does this and somebody else. And I finally started saying, God, why is the church here in Campbell River being put in front of me again and again and again and again? I wasn't looking. I love Bermuda. I didn't want to leave. And I started asking questions about it. Lord, are you wanting me to do something? And the Lord reminded me providentially that He had told me three things when I first got to Bermuda that would be done. And I went, oh my gosh, I've done the three. You know? And the third one was underway. And it was about, you know, people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, God, I don't want to go. Do I really have to go? Well, the Lord kept putting it in front of me. I mean, people showing up and doing everything. And finally, I was invited to preach at a conference out in Edmonton or someplace. So I flew out to Edmonton and then added to my flight to come over to Campbell River to see what was up. And they wanted me to be the pastor. And that's how I ended up here. Did I have a fight with God about that? Because I was seeing the way lit up, the providence of God, the Word of God, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all these things saying, go to Campbell River from Bermuda. And I did not want to leave. And I was at the point of, which way is the pathway, Lord? Which way does a good lay lie? I want to be here. Church was being blessed. The people wanted me to stay. And I loved it. And ministry was great. And on it goes. And I chose to come here. And what's interesting is, over the next year, everything hit an upheaval in the United Church over the ordination of homosexuals to the ministry. It exploded. And the churches in Bermuda, they decided to leave the United Church. We would have been in the middle of a massive upheaval in the next year. And that was all going on right at that time. Second thing that happened, we didn't know was coming, Megan's heart condition hit a crisis. And we were suddenly plunged into open heart surgeries and critical care and all the things that didn't have in Bermuda. We would have been shuttling back and forth to Canada trying to deal with. And they didn't have the care for her down there. And it was like God knew what would descend on us. God knew it. And so providence conspired to align everything together. And we chose that decision. And wow. What can I say to you? Find out where the good path lies. Now, finally, let me say this. The focal point is Jesus Christ. See, let me tell you that we can, even as believers, get focused on lots of other things. We can get focused on the good things to be done. I've got to go this way because this is good, and this is the good things I can do doing this. Oh, this is a good thing. Think of all the stuff that we can do if we did this decision. You know? And you start saying that to yourself. Well, the good can be the enemy of God's best. Right? You're thinking with human thinking when you analyze it. Oh, look at that. I should go there. That's the best salary. I'm going to move to that city or take that job. Oh, that's a better salary than the one I'd get at this other job. You can make, you know, decisions like that. Or whatever. Even buying the house. When Karen and I came here, we were trying to find a house. I think we saw 12 or 18 houses or something. And the realtor said, why, you know, somebody always chooses a house by this. But we didn't have any peace at any house we went to, even though we would have chosen some of them and said, this is great. And when we walked into our house at 100 Jones Road, both of us went, this is the house. This is a house. This was like the witness of God was on it. What is that? What is that? That's focusing first on Jesus. We follow him. We don't follow stuff. We follow him. We don't follow our logical ideas that this is the best thing. Now, all those things are maybe considered, but we don't follow them. We follow him. We don't follow emotions. We follow him. We don't follow wants and needs or desires. We follow Jesus. We might turn down that bigger salary for this other one where we have the witness of the Spirit. And you get to that big salary and it's a total nightmare living or working at that place. You get to that lower salary and you go there and, oh, God's on that. It's a blessing. You see, this is how it works. So how do you know? Like Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way. Isaiah 30:21, about the Holy Spirit. You'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And when you turn to the right or you turn to the left, the Lord says, this is the way. Walk in it. That's why that song about crossroads was, I went down to the crossroads, fell down on my knees. Huh. I went down to the crossroads and I prayed, the Lord, save me if you please. That's the words there in that song. So what can I say? Follow it. Follow Jesus. Put him first. Put him at the lead. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Ask God, where's the good way lie? and walk in it. And as the Bible says, you'll find rest for your soul. And that's what some of you need right now. Let me just pray for you right now. We pray, Lord, that my listeners be inspired by the Holy Spirit. May your own mind, your own emotions, your own logic be stilled in the light of the presence of God. May you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying to you, this is the way, walk in it.